your host for Lacrosse Talk PM, Rick Solem.
All right, welcome to Monday Lacrosse Talk PM. I am Rick Solem. In the studio with me this hour is, State Senate Rep, Wisconsin State Senate Rep, Brad Paff, District 32.
That's still correct.
Does the district change because the maps change? Would yep. anyone's numbers change?
The numbers have changed for some, but not for me.
Not for you.
Not just for this district.
A little bit.
Yep.
How was Buzz Aldrin's? No, I'm just kidding.
It was kind of neat.
What's his
name? Yeah, we went over.
Deke Slayton's birthday,
100th birthday party at the Sparta Library. It was a great event. We had it in late February, early March. It was a nice event.
Yeah, 100 years old.
100 years old.
And we're going to have the Deke Slayton Air Fest this summer.
We are. Yeah, we are. I mean, we're fortunate here in Wisconsin that some of the early NASA pioneers have Wisconsin roots. Obviously, Deke Slayton from the Sparta High School graduate. And we all have to remember the fact that Jim Leavitt is a graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And Tom Hanks played Jim Leavitt in one of these Hollywood
Apollo 13, right?
That's right.
Apollo 13. 608-785-7914 is the text line. I said that really fast. I'll do it again. 608-785-7914. If you get questions, shoot us a text. Brad Paff's going to hang out this hour. Okay, so I'm just going to give you a little bit of the rundown. We have two questions on next week's ballot, or if you got the ballot, you might have voted already, but two referendum questions, constitutional amendments, change the constitution. This is round one. To do this, you got to pass two voting periods and then...
Yeah, but it's already done that. The legislature's passed it. It's passed the legislature twice. Now it's before the voters.
Oh, it's just this is
so
it.
This is it for a constitutional.
Okay, they snuck this in right before the Democrats take over.
You know, the thing is this. I mean, people will have the opportunity to make their decision. I made my decision. I voted against these on the Senate floor. I mean, you know, it just seems like we've got constitutional amendments left and right here in the state of Wisconsin. And let's take a deep breath and recognize the fact in the entire U.S. government, there's 27 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, including the first 10, which were the Bill of Rights. But yet here in the state of Wisconsin, it seems like we're doing constitutional amendments every year, multiple constitutional amendments. I mean, let's take a deep breath here. Let's try and figure out how we can legislate. Let's figure out how we can work together in order to get things done. You know, what's interesting is, you know, there's been proposals to move away from referendums by the Republican majority in the legislature at the local level, but yet they're coming out and asking for, you know, constitutional amendments and people to vote on constitutional amendments. So, you know, I've got some concerns with these constitutional amendments as they've been drafted. I understand the intent, but I just think the way they're drafted right now, it's going to lead to greater confusion.
When you say drafted, the wording.
The wording of those.
Okay, did any Democrats have any say in the wording? You're in the Senate, do you get to, know what, I'm not so sure about the wording. Can we change this or that?
Well, and that so the answer is no. And this is what happens when you have a supermajority. And if you have a supermajority, either political party, is those that are in the minority do not have an opportunity to have a good, healthy debate and to make something better.
Well, you say they do have an opportunity, but they're not given the opportunity.
That's true.
What I would say,
that's right. It's correct. Thank you. You are not given an opportunity. You do have an opportunity, but you're not given the opportunity to, and then to have your ideas, you know, fully considered and fully considered before something like this is brought forward. And so the voters will have an opportunity next week to make their decisions on this.
And I'll read the questions in a minute, but I want to just get a little bit of a rundown. I know we do that. We start talking about something, we get off a tangent. EV charging station legislation that passed last week.
No,
the assembly, but passed.
Yeah, it passed. It passed months ago, and I was an early supporter of this, and this is exciting. So let me just take a.
No,
step.
We're not doing that. We're just gonna. We're not.
But this is exciting.
Okay.
Yeah, this
no,
is
we'll
exciting
talk about it.
Because it's federal money, and we have now passed state laws in order to implement that federal money.
Yeah, an EV charging station network along highways. I have issues with it.
Yep, we'll
you
talk
can
about
tell
it.
Me
yes, we'll talk about
if
it.
My issues are legitimate or not. All right, so let's see. What else do we have? Even the La Crosse County Republican Party Facebook page posted something about this that kind of made me think about this legislation. All right, anyway, Brad Paff hanging out this hour. If you have questions for him, upcoming elections, November elections, him running for Senate. Do you have an opponent yet?
I do not.
No opponent yet. So anyone wants to like throw their name in? A primary opponent could be a Democrat.
Yeah, sure. Could be a Republican. It could be whatever.
We could talk about that as well. We'll be back.
Really?
I'm already like bored. I like Shake It Off.
This is about Tim McGraw.
Did she break up with him or something?
No. I don't know. She wrote a song about her favorite musician was Tim McGraw.
Isn't Tim McGraw married to like some other very popular?
Yeah, but you know, I mean, Taylor Swift wrote this many years ago. And,
oh, sure. I mean, you know. And why not? Why not write about the most popular country musicians? I mean, who is the number one country musician? Willie Nelson?
Well, it depends on who you speak with. I mean, Johnny Cash.
Cash is country, you think?
I love Johnny Cash. He's a philosopher. He's all of the above, I guess. But Johnny Cash.
What's your top three?
Waylon Jennings.
Okay.
Jennings, Johnny Cash, and Willie Nelson.
All right. I was looking at this list earlier. It was defining who Gen X and all these people are. So are you... You're not boomer generation.
No,
boomer?
I'm not boomer. I'm old, but I'm not boomer.
Because I hear you say like Waylon Jennings. Well, okay, boomer.
I grew up with that. So I mean, my dad liked Waylon Jennings. And
so you know what's happening, though? Yeah. We have our boomer generation, and it's like grandpas, right? But as we
Keith guy.
As we all age into grandpa age, then you just become a boomer when you have certain.
I mean, so my generation, I'll just say it real quick. I'm a Toby Keith guy. Rest in peace, Toby Keith. I like Brooks and Dunn. I think that is a great group. A lot of good music there. I like the new guy, Jelly Roll. I think he does a nice job.
Listened to the Beyonce country song yet?
I have, and I'll tell you, I like it. I mean, I like it.
All right, that's Brad Paff. He's Wisconsin State Senator, District 32, which is a new district. I think it includes now we go
City of Sparta.
You lose like Pete's Burgers or something.
I do. Pete's Hamburger Stand in Crawford County in Prairie du Chien.
I think Brad said it opens in April at some point.
It does. The last weekend in April.
You could still go there.
Oh, though. You know I will.
Yeah. So you guys haven't worked in the Senate for a month. You had one day.
So we adjourned here in mid-March. Adjourned. Think about that.
And that was a little early than usual?
A little early. But I tell you, it's 9 months too early, if you ask me.
Okay, so what do you do for the next we talk about this all the time, but, like, do you have committees?
Sure.
Do you have, like, what is going on that isn't – we're not in session, but it's not like you're not doing anything.
That's right.
And aside from I got to go door-to-door to learn my new district because you could pretend you're doing that 24/7 if you want. What is the state legislature doing that's out of session that means something?
Well, I'll share my schedule with you. Tomorrow I've got the Wisconsin Economic Development Commission. I am a member of that. That is the public-private economic development commission the Walker administration created in 2011, 2012.
It's got
the worst
name. It's like WEDC, right?
Yeah, WEDC. So I have that tomorrow. I've got meetings in Madison in my office with some economic development organizations on tomorrow afternoon and Wednesday. Thursday, I am in Crawford County because we have the Lansing Bridge that connects Lansing, Iowa with Ferryville and Genoa and Crawford and Vernon County.
Because this is still your district.
That bridge is out.
Well, you're not. Those voters don't care about you. Yeah, they can't vote for you. You don't need to go to that.
So I am there.
Oh,
and
you're still going to go.
Oh, I got to be there. And I will be there with our Wisconsin – so I have the leadership of the Wisconsin DOT, Department of Transportation, coming over there because this is a serious issue. I've invited local government officials to join me there and others because we got to know what's going on because this is impacting, people.
Okay. Do you know what's going on? Can you give us an update or is that what you're going to get tomorrow?
Well, we're going to get more information on Thursday, but what I can tell you is this. We're building a new bridge. We're building the new Lansing Bridge. And while they were driving the pylons for the new bridge, it impacted as far as the balance of the old bridge. And so the Iowa DOT is the lead on this project. Their inspectors noticed, well, you know what? This existing bridge, it has been brought out of balance, which means it's not structurally sound right now.
Only the General Lee will be able to go over.
Exactly. So thus they closed it. Well, if you're sitting in, if you work in far northwestern Iowa, and all of a sudden you live in Ferryville or you live in Genoa, you have to drive all the way up to La Crosse here, the Cass Street Bridge, or you have to drive all the way to Prairie du Chien in order to cross into Iowa. And it has impacted people, and it impacts the business community as well. So, you know, I have, you know, I'm pushing our DOT. Now, Wisconsin DOT says, we hear you, Brad, but the Iowa DOT is the lead on this. I'm like, I don't care who's the lead on this.
This is like every cop show where this the is FBI comes in.
Yeah, goes, this no, is important. Exactly. This is important, and we need to get this done. So I've been told a couple weeks ago that within 30 days that this would be resolved. Well, the clock is ticking. So I'm having a meeting on Thursday down in Lansing, well, on the Wisconsin side of the Lansing Bridge, meeting with our DOT.
You could have it on the other side. You're already in La Crosse. You could cross over right now.
I could, but I'm doing it on the Wisconsin side, and because I want them to know how serious this is. And we
honestly
do have boat
Brad,
landing.
Brad, you should do it on the other side and make the DOT like
make the DOT yeah, figure out how to get there.
Like they get you say no, you say you're having it on the Wisconsin side. When they get there, you go, hey guys,
yeah,
and you wave. You're on the other side of the bridge. We're over here.
Yeah.
So you either got to go up to La Crosse or down to Prairie du Chien. We'll wait for you. It'll be like right. What? It'd take like an hour or a half hour?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah, probably closer to an hour.
Then they'll get
how serious this is, and they'll move it.
That's what
but we do have boats. So we have figured out that we do have water boats, boats that are moving across
we're ferrying
people back and
cars
forth.
From in
not cars,
in
not
oh,
cars,
oh, people.
Yeah, people. Okay. Yeah, that's right. And I want to make sure because I do have information up on my official social media site for my office in regards to this information because it is. It impacts too many people.
I mean, this is you're actually doing some work.
Which I should be doing. It is my job to do it. Yes.
Okay, so that was kind of the initial part of this conversation because in my head, if you're not in session and you're going to committee meetings, the easy one is marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to a committee hearing to talk about legalizing marijuana in whatever capacity. We're going to bring in experts. And you get all this knowledge and information, and you're ready to – you feel like you're an expert on how Wisconsin should handle mm-hmm. legalizing marijuana. And we're 9 months away, so you did all these – I don't know how many committee mm-hmm. hearings you would do over the next mm-hmm. 9 months. And then you lose the election.
Mm-hmm.
And then a new guy comes in that wasn't in the state legislature, mm-hmm. and that guy doesn't know anything. So then you have to start all over. So you don't, and I'm not saying you're going to lose the election, but I would say anyone that's part of that committee is not guaranteed to be in the legislature the next
session. No, that's right.
Session,
that's absolutely right.
The next election cycle. So it doesn't make any sense to me to have committee hearings on anything because there's no guarantee that whatever knowledge you're gaining in these committees is going to go cross over to the next election cycle because you might not be in the legislature.
Rick, you're spot on. I mean, first of all, they adjourned this legislature without moving on Badger Care expansion. 90,000 state residents do not have access to the kind of health care they could have access to if we would take money from the federal government with expanding Badger Care, which is Medicaid.
And we haven't done that.
We have not done that. We're only one of 10 states that have not done this. Haven't done it since 2011.
Yeah, more than
yeah. Okay. Okay. We think about what we did.
Who are these 90,000 people, by the way?
Well, I mean, these are people throughout the state, but largely it is individuals that when it comes to the poverty level and just above the poverty level.
Okay, so like middle lower class.
That's correct. That is correct.
And they would qualify for what's called Badger Care?
Well, so Badger Care is Wisconsin's version of federal Medicaid dollars. You get the federal Medicaid dollars, and then with Badger Care, you add additional state resources to it. So more people, you grow up from the poverty level. More people, 100, poverty level plus, whatever.
I've been on this kick lately. Like, you need to add all this stuff to your social media pages and just flood it. And describe it in a way that people understand. So, hey, are you eligible for, if we expanded Badger Care, are you eligible for
right.
it? Here's who gets it. And you put, like, single people
right.
between, $15,000 and $30,000 a year would be eligible, and families between whatever the I don't
and
know.
It's largely figure. Working families because they would not be eligible for the other programs, and of course they may not have a job that provides health insurance. So they're in that window, And of course, you know, we could be doing this, but we are not doing it.
The best insurance I ever had, and I live in Minnesota, is when I was working. I was between jobs. I was on just like, you don't have income insurance. And it was $3 copay for everything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is what everybody should mm-hmm. have. But that's not, we're not there yet. But like, yeah, expanding Badger Care. And I think it's lost. Like, don't they lose? Like,
we've lost over $1 billion. Of state of federal money that we have not got back to the state. But, you know, we also, Rick, could be I've advocated, you know, capping the price of insulin at $35 a month. I think it's something we should be doing. But yet we adjourned the legislature. Why? I think we should be going after these pharmaceutical companies for these high cost and prescription drugs. I've had legislation that would have more price transparency, at least know what we're paying for this stuff. Not doing that. Why aren't we doing it? We talk about these high prices when it comes to grocery prices. I agree. Let's do more when it comes to building out supply chains. People know my background in agriculture. Let's build out greater supply chains. But instead, they adjourned the legislature. Why?
Okay, so I've been thinking.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've been thinking. This is just goofy a little bit. So shrinkflation. Mm-hmm. So your bag of Doritos, let's just mm-hmm. say that, is
smaller.
Still costs like $4.
Right.
But it's smaller. So as bad as that is, I think this is doing a job psychologically on anyone that's eating anything that
right.
So or like your Jack's pizza, let's just say,
yeah.
Or a Oreo cookie package,
right?
So you open the bag of Doritos, you're watching a movie, you eat all the Doritos,
right?
And then you get done, and you're like, oh my god,
I can't believe I ate the whole bag.
I ate the whole bag of Doritos. I'm such a pig. No, you're not. The bag of Doritos is smaller, and you're not a pig for eating the full size bag of Doritos. It's shrinkflation. It's just smaller. You shouldn't feel bad about eating the whole bag of Doritos or the whole roll of Oreos.
That's right.
I mean, nobody has ever done that before.
Never.
But now, when you eat the whole roll of Oreos, you got to understand.
Yeah, there's less of them.
There's less Oreos in there, or the cookies are a little bit smaller.
That's right.
So you can pound down it. So don't feel bad, people, if you're eating a whole like sleeve of Oreos or Fig Newtons or eating that whole bag of Doritos, pounding the entire Jack's Pizza.
Right.
I feel like Jack's Pizza's 10 years ago where, you know, like, oh, I could just be a pig also, but I think I'm just going to blame shrinkflation.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you on it. But again, we could be doing something here, but we're not. And that's what's so frustrating. And I will say this. I still don't understand why we haven't codified Roe v. Wade in the state law. I mean, we have a situation where one half of our state's population is living underneath an 1849 law. And
okay,
I just think that that's wrong.
We'll go to break. But also, like, is there – like, we could have codified Roe v. Wade.
To
conception, too, or something? Or,
yeah. Well, I'm on legislation that would protect contraceptive services.
Contraception. Yeah.
Yeah.
Conception would
yeah.
– I read that wrong.
Yep.
Contraception. All right. We're going to talk about that when we come back. State Senator Brad Paff hanging out this hour.
They'd rather give you a
song. Is this a good, like, it's raining and kind of gloomy?
Just a good song, period.
Waylon doesn't sing like All My Exes Live in Texas.
No.
No.
Well, that's not Waylon.
Do you know who that is?
I do. I got to think about that for a second. But there's a lot of good stuff.
Wisconsin State Senator Brad Papp in studio here this hour, 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. I still want to talk about these flyers. I we get to talking to them, like, how much did we talk about the flyers? So the fake, not fake flyers, but these flyers that are created that are not endorsed by the person that they're, you know, promoting, essentially. I got a couple of texts here. Kevin asks, because we were talking about expanding Badger Care mm-hmm. in the state. We haven't done it since 2011. State's lost about
$1 billion.
Over $1 billion, which mm-hmm. is, if you want to figure that out, is you pay tax money to the federal government, and instead of the federal government using that tax money to fund Medicare or Badger Care,
right.
it uses
which
it
is
to
Medicare.
Fund,
right.
It uses it to fund Iowa Care,
right?
You know, so you're that's literally right. just you're sending your money to other states. In Iowa, I'm guessing Iowa probably right. hasn't expanded.
Yeah, only 10 states have not expanded. We're one of them.
All right. So Kevin says, how much of these issues? So we're talking about shrinkflation as well. Such as the cost of prescription drugs, health insurance, shrinkflation, is a result of government activities causing them?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'll say this, is that when it comes to the cost of prescription drugs, let's look at insulin. Insulin was created over 100 years ago. I mean, this is not a new technology. This is not a new drug. So as far as why that manufacturer, that prescription drug manufacturer, continues to charge the price that it charges, I think is wrong. And I think that we as society need to demand better. I do think it's important that we do have research and development, and I will say that it's important that we have our pharmaceutical industry continue to do research and development. We need to have a strong Food and Drug Administration that oversees this. But I do think that there's profit-taking that's taking place, especially when it comes to things like insulin, and that's a perfect example of we can do better.
Isn't it a fact that the government isn't doing enough to bring down the prices of this? We always talk about the price negotiation tactic that the government could use, but it isn't allowed.
It's not allowed to do it.
It's a federal issue there, though.
I think transparency is good, and I don't understand why we can't have legislation in the state capital to have price transparency when it comes to prescription drugs. You would think that in a free, fair marketplace, that's something that would have strong bipartisan support. But
now, as a state senator, this would be funny if you were like a House member or something. But that wasn't a dig.
That's okay. Quite all right.
You know, when Kevin asked, "Is the results of government activities causing shrinkflation?" No, I'm pretty sure the corporations are just making the bag of Doritos smaller and keeping the price the same because we don't understand. But I'm a pig, so
that's
all kinds of unhealthy things. You can really see this in the soda pop aisle. And the 2 liters are $2 now, but they're also like trying to change our mindset here. Hey, we have these 1 liter bottles you can get now. Hey, we have these mini cans of soda you can get.
Right.
Or we don't have 12 and 24 packs anymore. We have 30 packs. So you don't know what the price of anything.
Right.
Because we all know a soda is 12 ounces a lot of times, or a 2 liter is 2 liter.
Yeah.
So we got to like trick.
That's
you have to trick society into like, we're going to make the price different because we know sometimes. You know the exact size of things, or you know the 16-ounce can, or like the 1 liter bottle. So there's two different ways. So it's all like smoke and mirrors, I think. And I don't know what's the government have to do with making the Dorito bag smaller.
Well, I will say this: I do believe that we need to focus on the fact of growing out our supply chains and making sure that we make more things here in this country. And again, I've been very clear on that. And getting back to the original point we talked about earlier. Why the legislature would adjourn in the middle of March rather than continuing to tackle these issues and to bring relief to working families. I don't understand why we would adjourn.
I'm going to toss you a softball here.
Yeah, but please.
How many state senators voted against the calendar that ends your session in March?
I think there was – I know one.
You know one.
I know one for sure.
Was there more, though, do you know?
Maybe another one. It passed overwhelmingly, and I don't quite understand it because
Because Steve Doyle and Jill Billings in the Assembly, Democrats, they voted for the calendar. And I always go.
And I don't.
And Jill has her arguments about passing legislation right before an election. And Steve doesn't think so. But they're like, well, it's just kind of the status quo. Our vote isn't going to matter anymore anyway. But I'm like, well, then just vote against it. And that's kind of what
I mean, my thing is, I mean, come on. I mean, our working families deserve better. I mean, we haven't talked about child care yet, Rick. And think about it. We adjourned the legislature and we have not moved forward on any type of child care relief. This impacts our small businesses. This impacts our working families. Give me a break. And yet these guys went home. Give me a break.
Did you talk to the governor? Last time you were here, I said the governor should hold special sessions every month for the next 9 months.
I agree. I think we should just hold people accountable. I come from the farm. I mean, my dad was very clear. I mean, you got to be held accountable every single day because those cows got to be milked. And it didn't matter, Rick, how hard you worked on a given day. When you woke up the next morning, you had to start all over again.
But farmers don't need child care. They just put them out in the pasture, right, with the calves and stuff.
Well,
and
you do work. You do. But the thing is that's – we got to have a mentality where you just don't adjourn in the middle of March and go home, and then you start saying, well, you know what? This is the way it is. It's the way it's always been. It's the status quo.
Do farmers need child care?
Of course they do.
Do they?
Okay. Of course they do.
Is it? Yeah. And then the dilemma there would be like – I live way out in the middle of
and that's
nowhere.
The problem.
And then where are you going to take the child care?
That's the problem.
The kid for child care.
And that's the problem. I mean, this child care situation really, and I will just so for everybody that's listening here, I firmly believe in a private sector approach to child care. I think there needs to be a public partnership, but I believe we need to have local small business ownership of child care because what works in Mindoro may or may not work in the city of La Crosse. What works in Bangor may or may not work in Westby. We need to make sure that we have local approaches, local business approaches to that, and then we need to have that public, that you know, that government assistance.
This is where you and I disagree.
Yeah, so that's where
Mindoro's got a school. It's Melrose Mindoro.
It does.
If we took childcare and instead of K through 12 at Melrose Mindoro, I don't know if they have like little elementaries that aren't just part of that school. We just did whatever. When your child needs to go to childcare, you take it to Melmin School, and they have classrooms and teachers, and that's where you take your kid for childcare.
So, and Rick, that's a good point. And there is some schools that are having 4K. So they got 4-year-old kindergarten.
Yeah,
some some have talked about like 3K. But what do you do with the baby that's 6 weeks, or the 1-year-old?
So
that's the kind of.
But can't we take that to?
Don't
we have a classroom for the 6-week old?
So this is why we should not adjourn a legislature. We should have more debates on this.
We shouldn't have the discussion of lacrosse talk. Well, we should have it at the state legislature.
But it's a good conversation, though.
All right, so. I did get one other text. Let me see here. Kevin, there's Kevin's. Rick, if we use the argument that insulin has been around for 100 years, so has wood for construction, how come housing costs as much as it does? Okay.
That's a fair comment. I mean, the price of housing is, first of all, I mean, we need to have a conversation when it comes to housing. Housing availability and the affordability of housing. And this is a big conversation, obviously, here in the city of La Crosse and in La Crosse County. We need more housing, and we need to have affordable housing, and that's a conversation.
Well, I don't think our government should control what we can charge for products we sell. So let the corporations charge what they want for insulin, and if you can't afford it, then tough cookies.
That's a comment that was made. Obviously, I believe
The tough cookies part was.
Yeah, we need to have greater price transparency. I'll tell you what. I mean, the thing is, I fully believe in a free market when it comes to setting a price, but I also believe in transparency. But I do believe that, and I'll just say this: I strongly believe that when it comes to something like insulin, it's been around over 100 years. The pharmaceutical companies can be a little bit more responsible.
There's a world here where the Dorito company can, whatever it is, can charge what they want for Doritos and can change the bag. They can do what they want. There's another world here where I need insulin and I will pay anything I can to not die.
That's right.
So if you want government involvement, okay, so maybe government stays out of the Dorito bag situation or the Dorito price situation. But I definitely think the government needs to play a role in the thing that if I don't get it, I die. And, we're getting to the point where childcare, housing, water, all those parts need to be part of this conversation.
I strongly believe in transparency. I will say this. I have two pieces of legislation, and you can look it up. I'm working on it. And that one is price transparency for prescription drugs. I believe we need transparency. Number two, I have been a strong advocate of capping the price of insulin.
All right. So one other text, and then we're going to talk about electric vehicles. This is from Jim. Ask Brad if he believes our election should be fair.
Yes.
That'd be funny if you said no. No. Okay. Also, is he for illegals voting in our election? So I'm guessing like undocumented immigrants. And counted in our census. And if so, how is that fair? So
I do not believe in any of that. I'll be clear. I don't believe in any of that.
Well, they don't. Vote in our election. Undocumented immigrants can't. Legal immigrants can't for years. I have a friend that's lived in the United States for a long time. He's from, I think, Nairobi, and he can't vote still because it's just like.
If he's not a U.S. citizen, he can't vote.
But there's still this like period where you still can't get, you don't get the vote for a certain amount of time.
Okay.
So, it's weird. But like, these are funny questions. Hey, do you think elections would be fair? Okay. Do you think illegals, they already can't. And counted in our census, I guess that, should we count people that live here? I don't know.
Yeah, and I guess, I will say this. I think, just to answer his question, I obviously strongly believe that they should have passed the bipartisan immigration reform bill that the U.S. Senate passed. I think the House of Representatives should pass it. I think it's unfortunate that you know, the House of Representatives didn't pass it.
Well, they didn't. They didn't.
They didn't even bring it up.
They didn't bring it. Yeah, to
they
the
didn't
table
bring it up.
To vote
and
on.
As a result, you know, we there's concerns that this individual has that you know could be resolved, should have been resolved, but the House of Representatives would not bring the measure to the floor.
Joe is calling us fools. He's calling me a fool. He says some undocumented immigrants actually vote. They vote in local elections in some places because the city councils or the county boards have allowed undocumented people that live in those districts to vote in elections, but that's not happening here. So, but that's, and that's not also not happening in statewide elections. It's also not happening in federal elections, but some local governments have government control of their local governments and they decide if they want people that are living in their society to vote on issues that like, directly affect them. So, all right, we'll be back. All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. I'm Rick Sullivan. In the studio with me this hour, State Senator Brad Paff. And we got to talk about the thing we talked about at the beginning of the show. So this kind of stemmed from a La Crosse County Republican Party House or committee member, I think. I'm just going to put it up. Executive committee member of the La Crosse County Republican Party. They said they bought an EV. And they say in 2021, Biden's infrastructure bill set aside. Oh, they say there's no charging stations. There's not a lot of chargers. There's 6 superchargers in La Crosse. And the next closest one is Toma. And there are none in northeastern Iowa where I work. So this guy bought an EV, didn't do his homework. Apparently, there's not a charging stations. Probably should put one in your garage. The federal government's giving you money to put one in your garage. But he continues, in 2021, or she, Biden's infrastructure bill set aside $7.5 billion to install 50,000 charging stations. As of the end of 2023, none had come online. Last I heard, 4 had come online nationwide. So the federal government set aside $7.5 billion, according to this post, which may not be factual. You guys in the state legislature passed, you said months ago, the assembly in their one day that they worked this month, passed EV legislation to use federal money to create an EV charging network.
That's what the governor just signed that bill into law.
So the legislature had to pass a bill.
Right.
So the legislature sat on a bill for 3 years before they passed this, if this stuff is true.
So, yes. So, and I this is the first I've seen this post, but I will say this. The federal government in 2021 did pass legislation that provided money for EV charging network nationwide, sent money out to the states. So Wisconsin Department of Transportation received money to build this charging network. And
or do what they want with the
– And so we just kind – of- we passed the legislation given our DOT direction on – how we should move forward with building out a network.
Okay.
And so, again, the money that we got from the federal government isn't going to build out an entire network, but it's a start. So it'll be on state highways and on interstates.
Yeah, and the money, the new law that Governor Evers signed last week, the assembly had to pass it, and you guys passed it months ago.
That's
so the Republicans in the legislature sat on this for maybe 3 years and then maybe months after until they passed the $80 million in federal construction aid. It makes it easier for gas stations, convenience stores, and other businesses to operate electric vehicle charging stations.
That's right.
So we're essentially subsidizing private business to give them the ability to put up chargers along the highway? Is it wherever?
Yes, using that network. So it would be along interstate highways and along state highways. We still have more work to do, but this is going to take the private sector
and
to do it.
I want to talk about the more work.
Yeah.
We need to... I don't know how you want to do this because I'm not like a big fan of like giant landlords owning all the things, but we need to get rental properties, private chargers, so that when I'm a renter, I don't have to drive down to the gas station, park my car, either wait there a half hour or walk home and then walk back. I need to just park my car at night and charge it. That's the convenience of having an electric vehicle is I don't have to go to the gas station.
That's right.
And I understand some people take road trips and some people maybe commute from work. The electric vehicles at this point can go some 300 miles. You usually can get to and from work. I understand things happen.
That's right.
But we need to have, you know, students that come to UW-La Crosse
can be able to plug in and charge.
So that's where we need the network at private residences that are probably rentals. Because if I own a house,
I already
have that opportunity to put a charger.
And so just so you know, I've been meeting with, leaders from the utilities, from Dairyland Power and from XL and others that were, I'm saying just that, you know, you have to update, you know, your infrastructure that you have in place to make sure you got the transformers and you've got all the capacities. So when, you know, somebody like yourself could, you know, plug in at your house or your apartment, yeah, that needs to take place.
As the number of vehicles grows.
That's right.
Because they do pull a lot of energy.
Well, they pull a lot.
When you charge them.
And,
but a landlord is not going to be, is not going to go, you know what? If I put an EV charger out there, I'm going to get a whole bunch more tenants. They're already good. They're charging what they want for rentals. That's right. out of this world prices.
I know.
And they don't need to put an EV charger out there. But it would be nice for the people that want to rent, that want to drive an EV, because in the long run, it'll save you money. Like, oh, I can just, because I'm also getting, if I'm going to a gas station, they're making some on the top. So that, I'm going to charge at home for cheaper.
And I hear you on that. You're spot on. You are absolutely right. But this is why, to get back to what you're reading your email, that this is a, this process is building out.
I mean,
this isn't just snap the fingers, like, oh, my gosh, you know, Biden passed this, and now why isn't this done? I mean, this is, we're building this infrastructure out. And again, we're working hard with the private sector on this.
Well, working on it. It took 3 years to get here, apparently, according to that Facebook post. And then also you're gone for the next 9 months. So I don't know if you guys are going to be talking a lot about, like, hey, we need to help private rental residences get EV charging stations so they could do this stuff at home so they don't have to lose even more money. I'm already someone that rents, so I'm not making enough money to buy a home, maybe. And then I don't want to go to the gas station because, A, it's a waste of time. A, I'm losing money because I'm going to get charged more by charging at a business that's trying to make some money on top.
It's a fair comment on all of it. Yeah. I mean, Rick, I'm not going to disagree on that. We need to build this out.
Next committee hearing.
Bring this up.
And maybe hopefully you get elected again so that you retain all that knowledge. So anyway, that's State Senator Brad Paff. If you want to get a hold of him, you know what? Let's Google State Senator Brad Paff.
Yeah, please do. Or give me a call in the office, 608-266-5490. And Rick, it's always a pleasure.
All right, thanks, Brad. Thanks, everybody, for listening and texting.